every single day I feel it.
Artlist IO.
Every single day I feel the pressure. Double up the work, let's make it extra. Working so my mother get a rest, yeah. Working like I never know I'm blessed, yeah. Every single day I feel the pressure.
Welcome back to That One Studio. It's your boy C-Rock on the What Are You Made Of show. Guys, I keep saying this every show. I say I have a great guest for you. I have another great guest for you. This might top them all. This is a favorite of mine. I'd like to introduce you today, the chairman of Body by Jake, the pioneer of the personal fitness training industry, the creator of the world's first 24-hour fitness television network, Fit TV, the founder of Major League Lacrosse and the World Series of Youth Lacrosse. He's a New York Times bestseller, Wall Street Journal bestseller, and the chairman of the National Foundation for Governors Fitness Councils, which is a very, very important thing to me. Should be an important thing to everybody. Please welcome my guy, Jake Steinfeld. What's up, Jake?
C-Rock, I love the intro, man. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fantastic, brother. And I got to tell you, man, like, I watched you growing up as a kid all over the place. You were what I would call omnipresent. And this is something I talk about all the time with my agency that I have. It's omnipresence. Like, you got to create omnipresence. And as a kid doing that, I would have never thought that I would have had the chance to talk to you, meet you, or let alone interview you. So I want to thank you, first of all, for answering a DM that I sent on Instagram.
Well, listen, first of all, Ben, you know, I love what you do. You know, I took a look at a bunch of the things. I love the fact that you go after what you want. And in life, that's what you have to do, man. If you're sitting at home, you can't, you got to make that phone ring. You know, we'll get into it about, you know, you, Mike, you're a brand. C-Rock is a brand. Everybody who's listening right now is a brand. And before you, whatever job it is you take, whatever you want to be in your life, you have to create something. You got to be emotionally set, you know, whether it's that your self-esteem, your confidence. So whatever you're selling, people, whatever they're going to purchase from you, they got to buy you first. You know what I'm saying, Mike? And just like yourself, doing what you do, you're a charismatic guy, you're a likable guy, people want to listen, right? And especially today in the world we live in, man, people are desperate for hope. And that's what they want. And my life is built around health, hope, and family. Those three things. But we'll get into all that stuff, man. And I see you got a bunch of logos on. I've gone logo-less for the first time, I think, in my life, man. You know,
wow.
My got me a nice blue polo. And I said, oh, my God, there's no logo. I feel naked, man.
That's what I was going to say. It's our first naked podcast.
I know. You know, there's no Body by Jake. There's no Don't Quit. You know, there's no National Foundation for Governors Fitness Councils. Wow. Tell you what.
That's okay. We're going to talk about it. And for the listeners that aren't watching, they're going to hear about it. So, Jake, let me start the show the right way here. And that's with this question, my famous question. Jake, what are you made of?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm made of a lot of things. And what is still inside of me is that fat kid who had a bad stutter growing up. And I think all of us have dealt with or deal with lots of different things. I was an overweight kid. I had a bad stutter growing up, Mike. And, you know, for me to do something like this right now, I mean, I'm going to cut way back or to when a teacher would ask kids to read out loud in class, you know, whether you're in fourth grade or fifth grade or sixth grade, everybody can remember those moments. And I'm a big believer in life is about moments. And I mean, I remember counting the paragraphs or the kids till it was time for me to read, Mike.
I did the same thing.
I'm honest to memorize the two or three sentences. Now, I could read, but if anyone out there has dealt with or deals with a stutter, and you know what I'm talking about, because whether it's a B or a T or a M, whatever those letters, you know, are, that you get stuck and you go down the drain quick, man. So I always positioned myself. There were two other kids that stuttered worse than me. So I sat behind this one girl and this one guy. So by the time they got to me, I sounded like Maya Angelou compared to these guys, man. So you know, it was a tough thing to deal with, but I always tried workarounds. And my mom and dad, thankfully for them, you know, the school principal and the teachers met with my parents and said, you know, we're going to put your son in, you know, in that room 222, if you remember. And it wasn't because I was shy, because I couldn't speak out loud. And it was a really rough moment in my life. My parents said, no, keep right in the main part of the school, thank God. And my dad bought me a set of weights when I was 13 years old. And it changed my life, man. It changed my life because not only did those weights build my body, but it built my confidence and self-esteem. And you know this, Mike, and so many of your listeners and people who watch you on a daily basis, I see how what you post and what you do, you provide hope and opportunity and the belief that you can achieve anything you want in your life. It's a matter of getting up and saying, I can do this, right? Because really think about this, man. You stop you. I'll give you an example, right? You have a great idea, and I'll get back to the kid story in a second, but I get on a tear on these kinds of things.
Keep it going. Keep it going. I love it.
You stop you. You have a great idea. You read something. You saw something on social media. You said, wow, I can do this. I have an idea. I want to get this done. You're all pumped up, right? You're all excited about it. You write down a few notes, and then you go to bed excited. You wake up in the morning. What starts to happen? You come up with 10, 20, 30 reasons why you can't. I can't do this. I'm not strong enough. I can't do that. I'm not tall enough. I can't do this. I didn't study. I didn't go to school for this. So that by the time you have your coffee, by the time you walk out that door, you've stopped you. You didn't give yourself a chance to take that shot. And in life, man, it's about taking shots. You know, you hear all the stories about Wayne Gretzky, Kobe Bryant, all these great athletes talk about, you know, taking thousands of shots, missing thousands of shots, but having the ability to make those shots because they took that chance. And in order to succeed, you got to fail. And I'll cut back now to me being this fat kid and my dad buying these set of weights. And here's the moment, because life is about moments. He called me out in the backyard. I was born in Brooklyn, New York, raised in Baldwin, Long Island. And summertime, my dad calls me out in the backyard, and there's a little weight bench set up, Mike. And he kind of said to me, come on, let's do some bench pressing. And I looked down at my Twinkies, you know, and I said, this really isn't for me, Dad. And he was a guy, ask you to do something once and that be the end of it. I was the oldest, four kids. Put the weights aside, left them outside. Come time to fall, he said to me, I never picked them up, put them in the laundry room. I put them in the laundry room now as the oldest. In New York, I lived in a basement. Very cool. Back in the day, I had my black light posters up, Mike, with Jimi Hendrix on one wall, Alice Cooper on the other wall, you know, Julius Erving on one wall, you know, Walt Frazier on another wall. I had a lot of challenges. Let's just put it that way, man. Very eclectic tastes. And this one night, I'm doing homework. And I was never a good student in school. I admit it. I'm daydreaming. I'm supposed to be highlighting what's important and what's not important. And I'm glancing outside of my bedroom door. The laundry room is right outside of my bedroom door in the basement. Black light posters, sitting doing my social studies homework. And I look out and I see, which I probably had seen 1,000 times before, this easy curl bar, right? Which was bent in the middle. You know, this is new bicep curls with. And I got up and I walked over. And it was like something hypnotized me. I brought the easy curl bar into my bedroom, put it on my ottoman, right? I had this little skinny mirror that I put on top of the ottoman, man. I used to also love to listen to Frank Sinatra's. I did it my way. And at the end of Frank's album, there's this wild applause for Frank. So I queued it up to the applause. I put my cans on. Oh, by the way, let me back up. I had this afro. with this yes, no mustache, you know, a little bit of hair here, a little bit of hair, right? I had braces on too. It was a great look, I got to tell you. And I put on this, this tank top, and I was in my underpants. And I queued up the music to this wild applause to Jake Steinfeld doing his bicep curls in front of 50,000 screaming fans at Madison Square Garden. And that's where the sickness began, man. I visualized every time that I, whether I was mowing the lawn, I used to mow the lawn in the backyard of my house, and I used to think I was mowing the outfield of Shea Stadium. I always visualized something bigger. You know, and I'd wave. My mother would look out the window. Who are you waving to? I said, Ma, get in the house. I'm waving to all the fans at Shea Stadium. She's going, what's wrong with that boy? And, you know, I started training, standing up straighter. But let me give you a moment right as that was happening. I went out for my eighth grade basketball team. And my guy was a pretty good basketball player because, you know, my mother said, honey, you're a very good basketball player. And I believed her. And I went out for the team. This is now, by the way, this is way back before, you know, social media or the internet or cell phones or any of this kind of stuff. So when you went out for a team, the coach would put the list of guys who made the team on that wall outside the gym. My name wasn't on it. Pretty devastating. And it was the first time I put myself out there and I got punched in the face. And a friend saw me way down, gave me a poem called Don't Quit. I was 14 years old, man. I'm 66 now. And I'll never forget the moment. It was on a plaque. And I keep this plaque, been with me. This is it, brother. Look, I don't know if you can't read it anymore.
What a right? Great friend, though. What a great friend. We all need friends like that.
Since I'm 14 years old, handed me this.
Wow.
And for the reason that I didn't throw it away, you never know. Because once again, right, life is about moments. And the last two lines of the poem really resonated with me. I'll read the poem at the end for you. But it stick to the fight when your hardest hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit. And that sentence became a Bible verse to me and has guided me throughout my entire life, man. And I went out for the ninth grade basketball team. I made the team. And that I just recite that poem. And I've recited that poem every single morning and night when things get tough. And, you know, and here's the thing, too. I've been very blessed in my life. I've had a lot of great success, but I've had a lot of great failure, too. And in order to succeed, you have to fail. Because you don't know how far you can go until you go too far and you get that bat in the face. And I'm a big believer in, you know, if you believe in yourself and believe in what you're doing, you get told no all the time. But no is halfway to yes. Right, man? No is halfway to yes. You're just getting started. And
yeah.
Going back to your question of what are you made of, all that, that heavy set chubby kid with the afro and the stutter is always in there. And I'm always aware. And I've been married now 36 years. We have four great kids. And, you know, we talk a lot about a lot of things, decision making. You know, if you have to think about something too long, probably something you shouldn't be doing. But more importantly, take a shot. And whatever you're doing in your life right now, a lot of listeners are listening to us. I see. Watching us right now, you have a dream. If we had an opportunity, Mike, to spend another 2 hours to take calls from everybody who listens to you and watches you, what's your dream? What do you want to do? What do you want to accomplish? You might be in a job right now. You could be 40 or 50 or 60, ready to make the next move. Why not make the next move? Make that next move. The worst thing that could happen in life is that you wake up one day at 40 or 50 or 60, and you say at 20, I had this idea. At 30, I had this shot to do something, and you didn't take the shot. That's what kills people. Not that you failed, because, you know, you hear the stories, and it's the truth. Believe me, we could talk for a long time. You asked me a lot of questions about shit that didn't work out. You learn from it. Takes a minute to get over it, but you learn from it. And you get stronger. and you get healthier by it, mentally and physically. And that's what I'm about.
Man, got a lot to unpack there. First of all, the friend, that friend, if we could all have friends like that, because the next question I want to ask you has to do with the people around us, right? And your mom, belief is an important part that gives you hope. But so many people have had people in their lives, the closest people to them, friends, quote unquote friends, family members, people that have discouraged them. And then they get inhibited from imagining and from going for things. And that's what holds people back a lot, right? So what do you say to the people that have all these?
You just said it. You said, listen, if I could show you, man, I got the chills because you just said the words. And I talk a lot about that is you got to surround yourself. Like my superhero was my grandma. My grandma believed in me, right? When I finally, let's get to what you were saying and I'll get to it in a story.
Sure.
I started working out. I love working out. I'm the oldest in my family. I was the first one to go to college, right? My father and mother were very proud. They didn't go to school. My dad didn't graduate high school, you know, and this was a big moment. I went to college upstate New York, you know, Cornell University. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Portland down the street.
Yep. So I had a lot of friends that went to Cortland.
Yeah. Okay. I have to say Cornell because people recognize Cornell. Portland, right? But I got into school to play lacrosse. I was not that great, but I was a face-off guy. And the moment happened, and I'm working out every day. And in my dorm room, I got pictures of Arnold up on the wall, a picture of all the bodybuilders on the wall, and I'm in the gym every day. And I'm getting pretty big, man. I mean, at least I was a legend in my own shower. Let's just say that. and this moment happened, and once again, I keep going back to life is about moments, because these are the moments that in life, you know, you can either go left or you go right. You go left and you're a carpenter, you go right and you become Harrison Ford, right? And that's what, those are those moments, and I'll talk about that a little bit too. But here I was scrimmaging Syracuse. At Syracuse, it's hailing, it's snowing, it's the middle of October. I faced off. I probably won the face off. Who the fuck knows? And then I get off, right? And I'm on the sideline, standing there like a lacrosse ice sculpture, thinking, what am I doing? There's no such thing as pro lacrosse. I'm not really into school. My dad can't even afford to send me here. I'm going to go to California to become a bodybuilder. And that was the dream. But I was petrified to talk about it. I had friends, I had a girlfriend, my parents. And this one moment, my mom used to call probably every other day, check it in. You know, great mom. How's poli sci? How's math? How's English? I said, Ma, I said, listen. And it just happened. It wasn't a plan, Mike. I'm going to go to California to become a bodybuilder. Silence. Herbie, my dad, pick up the phone and talk to your kid. I'm putting my head in the oven. And the bus ride from upstate New York to Baldwin, Long Island felt like I was going to the moon. But I said it. I said what the dream was, man. This whole sense of heaviness was lifted. And now it was, what's going to be the reaction? Because, I mean, I'm 18 years old. I'm, you know, you're a moron, right? Got no dough. I'm 18. And my mother and father both said, look, you know, you want to go, get it out of your system. And, you know, we'll keep your room tight here and we'll make sure you get enrolled back in college. My girlfriend said, are you out of your mind? You're never going to make it. My friends all said, you're never going to make it. Come on, what are you talking about? And just what you said, Mike. You got to get rid of people like that because they're the ones that bring you down. They're the ones that believe if Mike is successful, I can't be successful. The old story about misery loves company, right? Mm-hmm. Look at it the other way. Surround yourself with people who believe in you, believe in what you're doing, and not just bullshit you, truly believe in you and root for you and you root for them, that's this upward spiral of success, not this downward spiral of sadness and sickness and the belief that, hey, if Mike does well, shit, man, that means I can't do well. Get rid of those kinds of people. And I go to LA, right? And I'm living in Northridge, California. And here's the reason. I didn't know anybody. My mother and father made a couple of phone calls. Someone said he's got to live in the Valley. The Valley is where it is. So I got an apartment and they got me set up an apartment in Northridge. I'm driving to World Gym, which, by the way, for all the bodybuilders out there, this was summer 1977. So this is, I tell people, when the dinosaurs still roam the earth.
By the way, I was 6 months old then.
All right. Well, you definitely remember this story for sure. With a little, maybe a little passy in your mouth.
Man. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Your mom and dad will remember this. I was 18 years old, and Arnold and Louis and all the big bodybuilders came to life from the magazine, and there they were. And I enter in a year the Mr. Southern California contest, right? I read all the magazines. Everybody said eat 18 eggs and 24 chickens a day, and you too could become Mr. America. Man, I clucked a lot, but I didn't become Mr. America. Because one thing they never spoke about was steroids. And what you saw, very different than what they talk about, was, right. I mean, here it was, and I'm obviously dating myself now, but it's what it is, my life. You're watching guys hitting each other with needles in the old Battissimo there. And the only reason why I didn't take steroids is because I was afraid. I was afraid. I talk about it. I say it straight up. I would have loved to have been huge, but I was afraid of putting a needle in my own Battissimo. And I had to make a decision there too, right? That was a big decision. I left college, a family, friends, a girlfriend. My parents were very upset with me. Everybody was very upset with me. And when that moment triggered in my head, I said, I can't go back. I'm not going to become Mr. America. I can't go back to New York a loser. Because I love working out. I love what it did for me. I love how it felt, Mike. And I said, I'm staying. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to do it. But working out is going to have something. And here's the moment. I'm in Studio City. I'm doing, one of the cool things that happened, we can get into another time, but they were casting doubles for a TV show called The Incredible Hulk for Louis.
Yeah, right? I remember.
And I'm in the gym. Well, you were 9 months old. So you definitely remember that.
I used to watch The Hulk, though. I remember.
All right. So someone comes up to me in the gym and says, Jake, your facial structure looks a lot like Louis. Have you ever done stunts? I said, come on. I grew up in New York, man. I've done plenty of stunts, you know? And go to Universal Studios. They're doing a makeup test. And I said, oh, I don't know what that is, but okay. They put me in green paint, man. And I don't know if he sent you photos of it, but they're classic. And Mike, there are no lines. You got to just give him a most muscular and growl, you know?
Yeah.
And they said, as I was in the shower getting this green grease paint off my face and water base from your neck down, yak wig, and believe it or not, an extra nose. I mean, if I go like this, Mike, I can cover my whole wall over here, you know?
Yeah.
You got the part. Oh, my God. And it was unbelievable, you know. And during my off days, I would go back to my apartment in Studio City and catch rays, like what every good musclehead does. And this one morning, an actress had walked over, who I had seen a bunch, and she said, I see you sitting out here all the time. What's your name? I'm Jake. Her name was Sandy. She said, I'm doing a Club Med commercial. I got 6 weeks to get in shape. Could you help me? Now, let me just put in a time frame, 1979. Jane Fonda just coming on the scene. High impact aerobics. Women very intimidated by using weights because they thought they were going to get big muscles.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm listening to this girl, and I said, sure, yeah, I think I could probably help you. She says, how much is it going to cost? I go, for what? For a workout. I don't know. Give me gas money for my 1977 white Camaro with Jake 77 on the license plate. Always kept a very low profile, Mike. Kept a very low pro, man, you know? And
By the way, hold on that point right there. I had a license plate on my 95 Eagle Talon that said C-Rock on the back of it.
So you know the program, right?
Yeah, man.
You know the program. And so she said, could you come to my boyfriend's house and do the work out there? She gave me the address in Beverly Hills. And I said, okay, I'll see you, whatever it was. I came up with a 30-minute workout, man. Now, one thing you got to know about me, man, I love training. I don't miss a day. I haven't missed a day, like a real day of workout, since I'm 13 years old. It's my drug. But I don't spend hours in a gym. I'm a 45 minutes a day, right? So I came up with this workout that was a 30-minute workout. I improvised with a broomstick, right, for twisting and things, a towel, isometric training, a chair for dips and push-ups, and two cans of mama's tomato paste, right? Super simple. And I said, well, hey, I wasn't thinking, Mike, this, I didn't have a business plan. I didn't think about this. It was my love and my passion.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
If you're passionate about something, passion leads and everything else follows. I had no idea what I was walking into. Thought I was going to help this girl out, you know, and that would be the end of that. And I'd figure out what I was going to do in my life. Go to Beverly Hills. Ring the doorbell. If you weren't on the cover of Musclehead Digest, I don't know who you were. Guy answers the door. Turns out to be Francis Ford Coppola.
Get the fuck out of here.
And I just looked at him and said, this dude could use a workout too. And they started going to parties. People started saying, you look great. What do you do? This guy, Jake, comes to the house. He's got a broomstick, a towel, and a chair. He's pretty funny. He eats too much because they had a great fridge, Mike. Great fridge. I had no dough. They had a great fridge. And people couldn't get a hold of me because, now, once again, back in the day, when you moved from state to state, you had to list your phone number in a phone book. There were no cell phones. I never listed my number coming from upstate New York to L.A. And it was the best thing I never did. Because one thing about Hollywood is if you're good and people want to get a hold of you and they can't, they seem to want you more.
Yeah.
Gain this mystique of, who is this guy? Get him. And I'm getting phone calls on my little, I had a little answer machine in my one-room apartment in Studio City from Steven Spielberg and Harrison Ford and Priscilla Presley and Bette Midler, Warren Beatty, Madonna, Barbara Streisand.
What was going through your head this time? Like, did you have to pinch yourself?
It just happened, Mike. It wasn't like, all right, here's my business plan. This is what we're going to do revenue-wise. This is how we're going to do it. It just happened. A PR person came to me at a party and said, "You're all the rage. What's the name of your company?" And I, Body by Jake. Truly, man. She goes, "Wow, that's tremendous." And simultaneously, I saved up a couple of bucks. I moved into Westwood in 1980. And now I'm training Harrison and Spielberg and these guys. And I mentioned the names, yeah, to show off a little bit. But also, I learned an amazing lesson, the greatest lesson of my life, which is why I'm here with you today. They're no different than us. These people are no different than us. The only difference is they had a dream, and they never quit on their dream, and they never, ever, ever took no for an answer. And that gave me all the incentive in the world to say to myself, well, shit, I might never direct E.T. 2, but I'm going to have my own success in life. And to be with these people, I traveled with Spielberg and Harrison for Temple of Doom and I traveled the world with all these great people. And I was 20 years old, man, 21 years old. So it was college times a million. I lived it with these folks and listening to them and learning from them. Mostly learning what not to do in my life. Because everybody's got challenges. And when you understand that, you give yourself to say, hey, wait a second. I got my own shit, but so do they. And look what's going on with them. Step up, man. Step up. You can do this. If they can do it, I can do it. And when everyone is listening to you and I talking, and I hope this is happening and it's going through everyone's mind, that guy Jay can do it. Well, shit, I can do it. And that's what I like to talk about.
Yeah, you know, I was having a conversation with my wife today, actually, and I was talking about my son who wants to get in film. My daughter, she's 11. I said, we should take her just to an acting, the theater, just to see if she likes it. Like, she doesn't even know yet. Let's just give her some experience. And my wife said, you know, I don't know if I want her out in that Hollywood, because she's thinking all the negative stuff, right? I said, no. We give our daughter a good foundation, knowing how to make right decisions. She can create her own world in Hollywood. And or my son can create. So what you did was, you didn't fall into the steroids. You even though you said you're scared, but there was still probably something there. It's like, you know what, this isn't the right thing to do for me. And then watching Hollywood and going, I'm sure you had your days and partying a little bit here, there, whatever, but still you made it. You're a quality human being. When I talked to you the first time, like you're just a good dude besides the success you've had. Wow. And so you don't have to fall into the Hollywood thing, that all the negative stuff that's out there about it, right?
100%. And everything you said, I buy. And you said something really incredible, man, about the foundation for your kids. I have four kids, right? My daughter, Morgan, they're all grown up now, man. My daughter, Morgan's 31, living in London. I have two sons, Nick and Zach, living in New York. My youngest guy, Lukey, is just finishing. He's taking his master's at the film school, just directed his first short film in the south of France. And he wants to be a director and a writer. And it's on us with our children to give them the opportunity to do it, what they want to do and be what they want to be, not envelop them in what you know, be what I did, but also give them that foundation to always know you can come home. And I think having that ability, having that net underneath you to go take a shot. And by the way, it doesn't just have to be our kids. It's what you said too, Mike. It's your friends and people around you. Get rid of negativity. Negativity is garbage, man. It just is garbage in and garbage out. Get rid of it. Find that one person that believes in you, and then build a little team around that person. Not yes people, people that believe. People that believe. And once you start doing it, man, and once you start taking those shots, because everybody always talks to me about, Jake, I want to be an entrepreneur. And here's the deal, Mike, and you know this, right? There's no book. There's lots of books on being an entrepreneur. But here's the deal. Either you are one or you ain't one. And what I mean by that is, are you good sitting by yourself in a room and the phone doesn't ring? You got to make that phone ring. You got to make stuff happen. There's not a little shell around you where you have a paycheck coming in, nothing guaranteed. You got health insurance coming in. No, you don't. You got to make it happen. But the reward is so exciting and so outweighs the risk. Because by the way, when you're failing, those are good stories. Those are great stories to tell. And if you're going to go to the racetrack, which my grandma used to take me when I was a little kid, used to take me out of school to go to Belmont, Aqueduct, man. I even went to the Trotters at Roosevelt Raceway, man. This is before OTB happened. And she would take me. And do you want to go and bet on the 2-to-1 shot and you get back $2? Or you bet on the 100-to-1 shot where you can come in and take home $200? That's life. Life is short, brother. Yeah. You know, right? Every day you got to get up. You got to kick ass. It's a new day. Something goes wrong. And by the way, like I said earlier, I get told no 7,500 times a day. But here's what I do know, and I said it earlier, and it's true, and you got to believe it. No is halfway to yes. And what I mean by that is, man, when I get told no, I'm just getting started. Okay. All right. That's good. That was a good no. But I'm going to tell you why. What I'm doing is what we should be doing together. Now, if you don't believe it, then you hear that first no, and you pack up your briefcase, and you walk out the door. In my early days, I did that a bunch, you know? And you learn that if you really believe in what you're doing, people will buy into that. People wanna be a part of something good, something that can potentially be successful. But you got to believe in you first. That's why you are a brand. You're a brand. And if you treat yourself that way, I ask people to think about themselves as a brand, but look at a brand that you admire most, Mike. I'm going to ask you a question. What's the favorite brand of yours?
I mean, you got to go with things like Nike, for example.
Okay.
And the Phil Knight story, for example. I mean, you can hear, you know, if you don't know the story.
But why does Nike resonate with C-Rock? Tell me why.
Well, I read the story, but not only that, the evolution of it from when it started and how it expanded. It wasn't ever something, a success, and then it stopped. Or they ran into some shoe that didn't work, and they're like, ah, fuck, it doesn't work. They took the data from the something not working, and then they recombobulated and went back at it again. And eventually, it just started to expand.
Okay, but I'm hearing what you're saying, but you're not giving me the answer of what does the brand mean to Mike? Like, when you wear Nike, how do you feel? Why do you buy Nike other than you didn't mention New Balance or Reebok or Puma or On, whatever the brands are out there?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? It makes you feel a certain way, right? There's trust. It's authentic. I'm giving you the answers, right? So for yourself and for everybody who's watching and listening, you have to be, if you don't have trust, I talk to my kids about this all the time. All you have is your name. Really, all you have is your name. You know, there was a moment in time where I could come to you, Mike, and we could put a deal together. I could shake your hand. And Mike, are we in? And I remember making my first exercise video deal at MCA Home Video, right? In 1982 with a guy named Gene Giaquinto. And he shook my hand to do my first three exercise videos on a handshake. I know people today are like, oh, he's full of shit. He's telling a story. I'm telling you right now. He shook my hand. I still get royalty checks from back 1,000 years ago. It's your word. And if you don't have your word and your name is shit, you're shit. And you can't, and then nothing good happens. So you as a brand, Nike, right? Authentic, there's trust. That's what you think about when you think of brands, when we buy brands, think of yourself the same way. You put yourself out there. Hey, Mike's an authentic guy. I can trust him. I never met him. I'll do a show. That's what I say, right? You have 1 million-some-odd followers. That's pretty damn incredible. I'm an official body by Jake. I'm afraid to use social media for some reason, man, but come on and follow me. And maybe you can help me out and get me a little bit more. But that's one thing. I can get up and speak in front of 10,000 people, Mike. But if I try to post something, I stumble and stutter again and everything else happens and I fall apart. I just don't do it. You know, every once in a while I'll do something, but it's, you know, you've been incredible with that. But you have trust and you're authentic. That's what makes you, you.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. I authenticity is something that it's just one of my things, man. I always said as I grew my brand and became known globally is that I don't want anybody to ever meet me and be disappointed with what they saw.
Right. Well, because, you know, sometimes you meet, I will say, heroes. You meet your idol. You know, you watch and listen. And hey, listen, I'll never forget it. Once again, I go back to my grandma, and I don't know how she was able to pull this stuff off. But I remember, you know, she would take me to a Ranger game, you know, at Madison Square Garden, and I was able to get a Brad Park. I don't know if you're an old hockey fan, but
I'm a hockey fan. But yeah, and I heard the name. Okay. I don't know.
I got a stick, and he signed it for me. And then I'm at Shea Stadium and I was at, my grandma got me into, she was amazing, man. She was a woman who said, if there was a line for me, she would say, not waiting in the line. Let me show you. And I learned that. And I taught my kids, I did to my grandma what my kids did to me. They're like, Dad, we can't cut the line. She says, we're not cutting the line. We're just going to have a conversation with someone who could get us to the front of the line.
Yep, yep.
So you want to queue up or you want to get in there. And for whatever the reason, my grandma was masterful at it, man. And I'll never forget it because I was at Shea Stadium and I wind up after a game and I got an autograph from Tom Seaver. I'm dating myself again, right? And Cleon Jones. And I asked Jerry Grody, who was the catcher. Now, here, let's listen to this. Now I'm going way back. And he wouldn't sign my mitt. And I said, to this moment, right, I hate that guy. I hated that guy ever since he stuck. I used to love him. And I still don't like him. I hope he's alive and doing well. But I because of that, and I always thought that if one day, if ever anyone ever asked me for an autograph, I will always do something. I will always take a picture. And you learn. And I saw that, like with Arnold. Arnold's been a friend of mine when I've known him since I'm 18 years old. When he became governor, he appointed me chair of the fitness council in California. And we've had an incredible friendship together over, 40 some odd years now. He lives right down the block. And it's been unbelievable. But you see, there's a guy who stops for everybody, you know, takes a picture, signs an order, has a conversation. I spoke yesterday at the Anaheim Convention Center, and people come up, hey, do you mind taking, are you kidding me, man? This is great. You know, I remember you from Coming to America. I saw you in Into the Night, this. I have all your videos. It's the extra little benefit of what it is you've been blessed to do, and you have a ball doing it. And every day I have a smile because I never worked a day of my life, Mike. I never had a job because I've always loved what I've done, win, lose, or draw. So whether it was, you know, having a dream to create a television network. I mean, if you go way back, Ted Turner is the guy that gave me my start. I did the fitness break on Cable News Network in 1981. I did these 60-second vignettes. I'll give you a quick little moment. I was training. I used to go to the Playboy Mansion, and I trained Hef's girlfriend, right? And I had gotten up, once again, on my answer machine. Now I was in Westwood from this guy, Ted Turner. Now, there was just an article on me in People Magazine. Now, back in the day, shit. People Magazine, brother, was it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There was an article on me about, you know, when Jake Barks, Spielberg, Ford, jump. And this call comes in. He says, my name is Ted Turner. I have a cable television network called Cable News Network. And I'd like for you to do a fitness show. Please give me a call. First of all, I'm in Westwood. Westwood didn't have cable yet, right? Once again, I'm going way back in time.
I remember that part too.
Okay,
cable wasn't everywhere.
So it's 1981. I'm on my way to go to the mansion, and I had mentioned to Hef after the workout, I said, hey, do you know this guy, Ted Turner? He says, of course. I said, he wants me to do something. Now, just for a little knowledge, I'm starting to train a lot of these big dogs, and they're casting me in movies and television shows. Now, I'm thinking, I'm going to be an actor, right? And when this guy mentions about wanting me to do a fitness show, I said, I don't want to become Jake LaLanne. And I said to Hef, what do you think? He says, think about doing something, Jake. And we just started, this was where all the great stuff happened for me, because I had this opportunity to sit with incredible minds. And Hef was a super bright man. I mean, you know, he had his stuff, but super bright. And we started banging ideas back and forth. And I said, hey, wait a second. What if I did like a commercial that this guy pays me to promote me? What do you mean? I said, what if I do like a 60-second commercial where I do a fitness tip, right? And I'm on a beach and maybe I could use 12 Playmates. And he goes, yeah, whatever you want to do. I said, okay. And I said, I'm going to come up with this. I called it the Fitness Break by Jake. I asked Spielberg if I can borrow his backyard on Broad Beach. I had 12 Playmates. Ted gave me 30 grand to shoot 200 one-minute vignettes. And I hope somebody out there remembers them, but we did it for 4 years, and I can riff it right now. I would go, and now it was Flip Spiceland, the weather guy, would throw it to my spot. And it was, hey gang, I'm Jacob, Body by Jake, and here's your fitness tip of the day. Today, we're going to work the old Buttissimo. And here's Brenda and Jennifer, and I want you to grab your broomstick, right? And we're going to show you how to do it. Or two cans of mama's tomato paste, and let's go for 10 repetitions. It's gorgeous. What a beautiful day. And remember, at the end, stick to the fight. When your hardest hit is when things seem worse, because you must not quit. Don't quit. See you tomorrow. I mean, that's – I did 1,000 of those spots. But here's the cool thing. It ran 3 times a day in the States, but it ran like 10, 12, 15 times an hour around the world because TED didn't have any advertisers around the world. So I'm getting all of this exposure. And that's really what kicked off Body by Jake globally. Just on a now today, 60 seconds is considered a mini series. You know, everything is 6 seconds and 7 seconds.
How many millions did Body by Jake do revenue wise, do you think? Do you know the number, or is it?
Listen, I had a string of infomercial hits that gross sales. We did close to $2 billion in sales.
You know, man.
Gross. That's not
gross revenue.
But it was. I've been very blessed. I had a dream to create a television network because I saw an opportunity. Once again, I'm a guy who has always said, "How do you make 1 + 1 = 3? How can Mike and Jake work together?" Which is why I reached when you reached out to me, I said, "Hey, this is my kind of guy," right? And as opposed to, "Oh, Mike's doing this. How could I beat him?" As opposed to saying, "How do we work together?"
And collaboration,
the fitness industry is made up of a million little islands. And I said, what if I created this 24-hour fitness service, which I based off of the original headline news, right? And I grew it to 16 million homes and sold it to Rupert Murdoch. And when I sold it, which is a pretty cool story, basketball, my first love. I would have loved to have bought an NBA team back in 1997. I was doing a short-lived magazine called Body by Jake with a company called Hachette Filipaki, right? And a guy named David Pecker was the publisher. And 6 weeks to go for my first issue to come out, I have zero advertisers, Mike. Now, you're a business guy, right? I have no pages, no advertisers.
Damn.
Now, once again, back in the day, no cell phones. You know, you can't Google who's available. I used to read whether it's Advertising Age, Ad Week, whatever. If I saw a name, I recognized it, didn't recognize it, circled it, would make a phone call. I used to also make lots of phony phone calls, but that's for another show. And I saw this name, Dave Ropes, who used to be the CMO at Reebok. And Paul Fireman signed my first endorsement deal in 1980 with Reebok. Great man. What a sweet man. And this guy, Dave Ropes, was his marketing guy. And now he's the marketing guy at GM. I go, holy shit, this is my guy. I call him. Dave, congratulations. Oh, Jake, thanks a million. I said, look, I got this new magazine. I got my first issue coming out in 6 weeks. I need 5 pages from you. He says, Jake, I can't get you 5 pages. I just got the job a month ago. He goes, I go, listen. He goes, I can't do it. I go, I just need 5. He goes, I can't do 5. I said, I would have asked you for 10, but just get me 5 pages, all right? He says, I can't do it. Give me a couple of months. I said, I'm out of business in a couple of months. So I'm thinking quick, and I go, what if I deliver John Kennedy? Now, John Kennedy Jr. was doing a magazine called George. If a lot of people, if your listeners know, kind of remember that. But John Kennedy was John F. Kennedy's son, right?
Mm-hmm.
An incredible guy. What do you mean you deliver John Kennedy? You bring John Kennedy to Detroit? I said, that's what I said, right? I'll bring John Kennedy to Detroit. He goes, you bring John Kennedy to Detroit? I'll get you 5 pages. I go, done. And by the way, I can deliver David Loren, Ralph Lauren's son, who has a custom pub job called Swing. He goes, I'm not very interested in that, but if you bring John Kennedy, I'll find the pages. I go, okay. I hang up the phone. Mike, I never met John before. So I called David Pecker and I say, David, I have an opportunity, but I got to come to New York. Could you introduce me to John? And I told him the story. He says, come to New York. I met John. We hung out for a couple of days. Incredible guy. We worked out together. I got him in the gym, which he was just good at, but he's a runner and I'm not a runner. He says, if you take me to the gym, Jake, you got to come run with me. And I go, sure, fine. And I'm stopping every, 300 yards going, hey, John, what is that? What is that over there? Go, it was great. But between John, myself, David Pecker, and then we brought David Loren, which, by the way, David Loren today runs Ralph Lauren for his dad. But then he was a 21-year-old kid with a magazine called Swing. We go to Detroit. We get our pages. It was a great moment. The fellas go back to New York privately. I go back, on Delta. And we each switch magazines. So it gives me, I get an issue with George and an issue with Swing. I open up Swing magazine. I see a guy holding a lacrosse stick. And I go, holy shit. Full circle, right? 1977 was the last time I saw lacrosse. I've been in LA 20 years now, right? It's 97.
So I want to talk about your foundation, but real quick, the question about how stop so many people, right? They want to do something. They have this dream and they're like, yeah, but I don't know how to do it. So then they just give up on it, right? Talk about commitment first and how that creates the how.
Well, listen, man, like we talked this whole show about commitment. We talked the whole show about the belief in yourself, the belief in your idea, the belief in what you want to do. We didn't talk a lot about this, but my life is about visualizing. We mentioned it in the beginning of whether I was mowing the lawn in my backyard and waving to the fans at Shea Stadium, right? Or doing my bicep curls in front of 50,000 screaming fans at Madison Square Garden at the beginning of time. I always visualize whatever I've got to do. And even today, this morning, so my gym workout is both a mental and a physical workout. I do a 42-minute routine, not 41, not 43, 42 on a button, 6 days a week. And old school, I throw the iron around. But with every rep that I do, I think of what the task that I have to accomplish on that day. So I played through, even though you and I had never met before, Mike, I played through not everything I was going to say, but how this was going to go. And I do the same thing. I've got 3 or 4 other interviews today, especially because, which we haven't gotten to, I've been the chair of the National Foundation for Governors Fitness Councils. Now, this is my 13th year, by the way. So I told her earlier about in California, when I was chair of the fitness council, great honor serving with Arnold. And then when he left with Jerry Brown, and then 13 years ago, I took on this position on a national level. And what I love most about it is that I reorganized the foundation with a very single, simple surgical mission, is that I wanted to put as many $100,000 Don't Quit Fitness centers in as many elementary and middle schools in this great country. We talk a lot about being blessed. I've been very blessed in the fitness industry. We got to give back. And the way I know how to do it is going way back to my dad getting me those weights, man, is when you give the schools the tools, it's amazing to see what happens. And over 13 years now, I made a commitment that I want to do all 50 states. I have done 46 states to date. And we are in the middle of a competition, a contest right now in my last 4, Hawaii, Alaska, Nevada, and New York. And here's how I do it. I call governors cold each year. And I've got 3 brand new $100,000 Don't Quit Fitness centers as a gift to your state, Governor Mike. And all you have to do is we do a joint press release, tells your state that Jake's coming to town with these $300,000 gifts, not a grant. Grants are what governors, what governments do. Gifts are what your parents and your grandparents give you, And then we take care of the competition. And you just need to come to Governor Mike, come to one ribbon cutting in October when we do the ribbon cutting tours. That's it, Mike. And it's been incredible. I think my team sent you the video. I hope you can take it and post it up and show people, because the give back is really important. It's one thing to have, to do great things, to travel, you know, to take care of your own family. But especially today, we all need to help each other. And the one thing I will tell you, brother, is this. I travel around this great country of ours, and I have been to, whether it's rural, inner city, city, you name it, man, reservation schools, and I have met the most incredible people on the planet, and people who have so little, whose hearts are so big, who do so much, who care so much, and it's just awesome for me to go to meet them, because I come back to L.A., talk to guys like you that, you know, you read the paper, you see the news, how fucked up things are. But then you get an opportunity to meet some of the most amazing people in the world. And they're right here in our country who really believe, who love their kids. And these kids want to win. These kids want to be successful. They just need a shot. And I go into the school like every October. We do the ribbon cutting. I get up, tell a little bit of my story. Get kids excited. And I always end with, you know, there's usually 800 or 900 kids, middle school kids. And I say, someone in this audience, and the room goes very quiet, will be standing up here 20 years from now, making a speech about this moment that inspired them to create something, to give back to this school and this community. And to me, man, that's what it's all about. I mean, that's really what this is all about, is to be able to give someone else an opportunity to have that belief in themselves that they can do whatever they want in their lives, Mike. And that's the greatest, that's the coolest thing in the world. And it all came right back to, from, right? That easy curl bar. Just doing a couple of reps, because the most underutilized antidepressant is exercise. And if you think about it, if you're mad, if you're sad, if you're angry, if you're stressed, a little bit of this, a push-up, a walk, whatever it is, man, get that smile back on your face. Get back in the game. Because at the end of the day, as crummy as the moment might be, the sun will come up tomorrow. It always does. And you have a shot to do it again and do it better. Stay in the game and don't quit. And the poem which I'm going to leave you with right now is this, right? We talked about it earlier. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high and you want to smile, but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learn. And many a failure turned about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worst that you must not quit.
Wow, I love it. I love it. Jake, thank you so much for being here, man, your time. And I definitely will be sharing this out. I'm going to clip this up, get it out all over social. And I did watch that video, and I noticed the governor said, when Jake calls, you pick up the phone. Thank you so much, brother.
Hey, brother. Yeah, great to talk to you. Official Body by Jake, man. Catch me up to you.
I'll be in touch. I'll be in touch. We'll do some things together for sure. And I'll give you some tips that I learned on blowing up on social media. Jake, thank you so much for being here. Jake Steinfeld, everybody. It's C-Rock here signing off from That One Studio on the What Are You Made Of Show. Until next time, be that one. Working so my mother get arrested. Working like a